you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we do thank you and praise you for the opportunity again to come together. Brothers and sisters, Lord God, we are family. We are friends, Lord Jesus. We are a body. We are a body of Christ. And Lord God, I thank you for this body that is meeting here today. And I thank you for the bodies that are meeting all over the United States and all over the world that right now they are worshiping you, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, we pray for them and we pray that you would inhabit the praises of your people this day. And Lord God, we welcome you. We want to dwell with you this day, Lord God. May the words of our mouth, meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're going to start off with holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I've got my lovely mother, Joy Weaver, today. So I'm glad that she was able to come down and spend some time with us. Dad stayed back home to keep the money coming.
This is a song that we grew up, that I grew up singing in the East Brandywine Baptist Church in Gallup, California. But I remember getting together with that little gray church and singing this song and just lifting the praise up, and it just felt like the rafters were being lifted up. So let's thank you here in Brandywine. Amen. Holy, 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 holy God.
Praise him in the hymn of praise. Yeah. Father God. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here this day. In Jesus' name. Jesus' holy name. Holy, holy name.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah.
You know, I just love it when the Lord gives scripture verses, you know, as we worship. I just so love that. Sometimes that's why I always carry the Bible. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I always just carry the Word. Want to be so close to my heart. He is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to divide soul, spirit, bone, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. I love to keep it always near me. And, you know, even as the Lord was ministering during that worship time, Nathan's mom, I just... You know, there's a scripture that's coming to mind, and it's just about his word, you know. Sorry, be excited, isn't that? You know? He's exalted, you know, he's exalted, he's honored all things, he's exalted all things, above all things, his name and his word. The name of Jesus and his word. And these are things that we have at our disposal right now. That the enemy wants to take you away from. He wants to take me away from him. If we want to be weak Christians, the first thing the enemy will do is suck up your time, suck up your attention, so that you won't spend the time in the Word of God. And that's just what he does. The Lord wants to strengthen you. He wants to give you life and freshness and living water. He wants to wash you clean with the water of the Word. Let that refresh you every day. Read your Bibles and pray every single day. Hey, that's good. Read your Bibles and pray every single day. Listen, we've got a couple of these left, and we've been giving these away. I just gave away one a minute ago. This is a little devotional called My Time with God. And it's the complete New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. And it has some corresponding key Old Testament selections. So basically, it'll go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a 15-minute devotional. It's the New Testament for busy people. How many here, just out of curiosity, are busy? Raise your hands. Hey, that's just about everybody. And so this is something for you. And it has little comments by people like Beth Moore or Billy Graham. On the particular passage. But if anyone would like one of these free, and you're willing just to take time, in 1 year you can read through the whole New Testament and get enriched and get encouraged by the Word of God. If anybody else wants one of these, just raise your hand. We've given away a bunch, okay? But we have a few more. There you go. Receive in Jesus' name. Anybody else want one? Okay, good. This man coming right up. Anybody else back here? Okay, one more. There's one over here. Okay. Read your Bibles and pray, Ray, every single day. Hey!
Hey.
You're welcome. I have one for you back here, man. Receive in Jesus' name. All right. Okay. Hey, George, just out of curiosity, if that DVD doesn't work in that one computer...
I've already got it taken.
Oh, you're amazing.
Yes, amen.
Okay. Well, we've got kind of a special treat. The Lord kind of did some that changes this morning. Oh, hey, wait, before I forget. Sorry, just talk amongst yourself one second. In Jesus' name. Okay, so... Before I forget, the Lord kind of changed a bunch of things around, and so we're going to go through the announcements, but we're going to actually have someone else speak today, and so it's going to be a treat. At the last minute, I think Tom was going to be out of town, and Amy and Josh are back with the kids, and so what are we going to do for worship? But isn't it wonderful how God provided somebody for worship this morning as well? So thank you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. so I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before. I guess the Lord kind of impressed on Lester and Peggy's heart to come and to share and to teach as well. So that's quite a treat. And we're going to invite them up after announcements. We're going to pray over them. But Lester and Peggy have been missionaries for, is it 40 years now?
40.
Oh, 40 years.
45.
45 years. That's longer than most of you have been alive. Like me. That's not 12. Think of thoughts of good and praiseworthy. Okay, so we're going to pray for them, and they're going to share a little bit about what they've been doing for 45 years, and then they just want to speak a word to us. And so I thought that was really exciting. And so they're going to actually come up and share. And they've been a wonderful addition to this body. We're so blessed, honestly, to have them. And that's the truth. Amen. And, you know, just even at the men's group and the services, and just such a blessing. So anyway, let's go through these announcements really quickly. And then we're going to call them up. And we're going to turn the service over to them. And then I'll wrap it up at the end. So, oh, by the way, if anybody is not seeing God's Not Dead 2, go see it. Okay, for the youth who saw it, was that not awesome? Okay, yes. All right, and I just want to say thank you because of this church and the generosity, you know, you guys being so generous with the offerings and things like that. We were able to take 22 of the youth to go see God's Not Dead. And they were all encouraged in their faith. And so, man, thank you so much, church. This is really an awesome little church. And you guys are just very generous. And so we were able to do that in Jesus' name. And they gave us a discount, too, which at the last minute, which was really great. Yeah, Tom worked that one out. So anyway, I want to encourage you to see that. Also coming in concert, Jeremy Camp, Saturday, April 23rd in Lakeland. And also Big Daddy Weave. What's the date today?
Yesterday.
Just ignore that. Whatever.
You have Little Daddy Weave today.
That's right. We did have Little Daddy Weave. That is great. Well, I couldn't even have planned that. That was great. And I noticed that somebody had red hair today. So Tuesday's your big day, right? Okay, all the girls, are you all excited? Yeah? You're going to do a great job. We prayed for you guys, just so you know, last Sunday, and so we're praying for you guys just to do an awesome job. Just do your best, honor the Lord, so we're with you in heart and spirit. So really want to encourage you. If anybody wants tickets to that, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, and it's the Benefit Circle School, and Nate probably still has some tickets, so if you want, you can see him.
Erica.
That's what I would do, too. See Lisa. Also, if anybody wants to get here early and pray for this service, what was really great is we prayed for, a couple of us prayed for Joy and Nate, and then somebody said, you got the double blessing, because the people were already playing early this morning for you guys, and so I love that. So if you want to meet here early morning, Sunday mornings to pray, we'd love to have you. Also, the Women's Bible Study is also
Karen,
Tuesday night.
I think we're gonna cancel it this week or postpone it just so we can all encourage the ladies to go out and see.
That's
the play.
Wonderful.
So if anybody wants to go together as a group, come see me afterwards.
Okay, that's really great. See?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I'd love to encourage
her. She said that you were all write your tithe checks to Darren Charlie. I'm kidding. The new folks are like, what is up with this guy? just funny. That's up to my brain joking. Actually, what she said is she's going to cancel you guys are canceling the Women's Bible Study so we can
just
all support Anne of Green Gables and the crew. Tuesday, okay? So now you have all the more reasons to get your tickets and support. I love that. Thanks for being supportive. Okay, youth group Wednesday night at Manatee County Youth for Christ. Anthony, you're going to be sharing. Okay, we're going to talk about for a little bit about God's Not Dead 2, and then you're going to do a teaching on
forgiveness.
Awesome. Look forward to that. Also, praise and prayer, Gary. Right? This Friday. Okay. No.
This Friday is
Christmas.
No.
no, this is the fifth Friday.
Oh, it's the fifth Friday?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. It's the 30th, right?
Okay.
Friday's the 30th?
29th.
Okay. 29th. Okay, we're going to face it the fifth Friday.
Okay, so no. What am I going to do? I'm just going to sit? I'm going to sit here by myself? All right, that's fine. All right. Okay.
Aaron, you can play more block in the back.
You know what? That's a great idea, and I'll meet you out here.
I got it.
You know what? For the men's group, let me just say thank you to the men who showed up to lay down the block.
That's what I was saying.
Some were mysteriously missing. Yes, you did send that one. That was good. And the last thing is, before we get started, oh yeah, if anybody did not get a copy of this teaching, Jesus at the Center, some other people wanted it, and I keep forgetting each week to mention it. If there's anyone who has not gotten the teaching, Jesus at the Center on audio, we just want to give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. Yep. Put the word into your hand. That's the main thing. That's what we do. You guys want it, we give it to you. In Jesus' name. Jesus at the Center. Okay, come over here.
Okay.
So? Okay, yes, absolutely. Okay, anybody else?
Okay.
Okay, got a couple more?
Right here.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Going once? Twice?
Right there.
Okay, good. Okay, Kayla, don't get hit by this. Good, thank you. Okay, and then Susie, I'm going to hand you over the microphone.
Pastor? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Twice a year we update our, church directory. So it's that time again. So we're going to pass this around for the next couple weeks. If you are on here and maybe have moved to have new email, phone numbers, or I've added a little column on the far left, if you want to receive Pastor Darren's weekly text, messages and encouragement, you can just put a little X and we'll be sure he adds you to his list. If your names are not on here and you feel like this is your church home and you want to be added, there's pages on the back to put your information. And then in a couple weeks, I'll print out copies and everybody will get a copy so we know how to get a hold of each other if we need to or whatever, okay? So I'm just going to start this. And the next thing is about our loaner library. It's my fault. It's been neglected for a long time, and I apologize for that. And so after a survey, we have 50-something DVDs missing. I don't know how many books or other things, but the movies, we have 50-some checked out, never returned, or checked out, I mean not checked out, but taken, and no idea where they are. So could you everybody look around at home and see if you have one that you maybe took and forgot to bring back? And so if you do take them, we now have more papers. You sign them out, and when you bring them back, be sure you write when you brought them back, and then there's a basket now that says returns. Just stick them in there, and I'll put them back in the right order because I have them alphabetized. And we have plenty of these sign-out papers in the book now. And so it's been reorganized back there. And also, we have a place now where the new items, new resources available will be set out for a few weeks. You can see the newest things that we've bought. But we sure would love to recover the 40-something. We don't know where they are. Thank you.
That Loaner Library is such a great resource, too, guys. Honestly, there are tons of Christian DVDs to encourage you in your faith, teachings. There's audio teachings. If you want to grow in the Lord, there's no excuse. I mean, if you don't want to grow in the Lord, this is probably not the best church for you, because every opportunity is right there for you. We've got books. We've got audio books. We've got videos for the adults. We've got a bunch for the kids. We'll have more, a bunch more next week, I think, a bunch more for the kids. Right, and so we just want to encourage you to check that out. It's a free resource for the folks here. Again, just double check if there's any you have at home that you can turn them. Okay, I think that's it. Anything else? Going once? And by the way, that was my fault and my responsibility. All right, Lester and Peggy, you want to come up? As they're coming up here, we're going to pray for them. And You know, it was kind of interesting. I had asked Lester a few times, you know, I said, brother, I said, if you want to speak here, you know, you guys just let me know. And he's like, well, prayed about it. Here, guys, make yourself comfy. This whole fellowship church is becoming. And so he's like, no, I prayed about it. And then I asked him again, not too long ago, maybe a month ago. So I prayed. He's like, no, I'm just enjoying the receiving. Okay. He said, okay. And then I got this great call from a couple days ago saying, yeah, we want to share. So I think we're in for a treat. I don't even know what God has in store for us, but I just want to take a minute and pray for this wonderful couple. And if we can all pray for them together. You know, Lester said something, he was saying some really encouraging things last week and the week before, which is really beautiful. And I think I kind of shocked him. Tom gave a great message last week, didn't he? Wasn't that amazing?
Yes.
The illustration. In fact, there's still a Band-Aid up here, Lester. Things get ugly. There's blood, like there was in the illustration Tom gave with that rope around his neck. You know, that's what anxiety, fear, worry does to us. It chokes us, you know. And that's why, you know, we need to think about what is good and true and praiseworthy. We need to renew our minds continually. You know, God speaks. You know that scripture verse that we read, that the Lord gave, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you know that God, when God gave that verse to somebody, we spoke that here, someone else came up and said, I'm just going to say, Gary came up and said, God gave me that exact same words. If you didn't speak it, I was going to speak it. So God is trying to communicate to you. And it's awesome when he does that. But afterwards, Lester was saying some really nice things. He goes, wow, he's heard like Gary and Tom and Josh and some of the other folks speak and teach. And he's like, wow, you've got a lot of ability, teaching ability in this church. And I said, no, we don't. The shocked look on his face. He said, no, I'm saying you have a lot of ability. I said, no, we don't. And he kind of gave me that shock. And I said, Tom will read words and he'll forget them. He'll skip them. I jump around. I'm totally ADD. You know, I said, Gary, I mean, Josh, they teach powerfully, but we rely on the Lord. Honestly, apart from the Holy Spirit, this is, you don't have natural ability here. And if you guys do have that and God has you teach, great. Love it. I just said, and he goes, I know what you're saying. You don't have a lot of ability, but you have availability.
Amen.
And I said, that's Amen. Exactly right. That's exactly right. Awesome. And I was like, so let's just take a minute and pray for this awesome, awesome couple. As they're going to be going back to Zimbabwe to sell their house, Lord willing. So you can pray that sells quickly so they can get back here. But Peggy's like, hallelujah, inside. And so let's just pray for them. Anything.
That verse on thinking that things noble.
Yes.
We discussed that at forum on Friday.
Really? That was what you guys were talking about there, too? Praise the Lord. See, God's just trying to remind you to keep those things. Enemy wants to get in your head. That's where the spiritual warfare, it's a battlefield of the mind, you know. That's why we need to renew it in truth. Jesus, his heart, his word, his spirit continually. Otherwise, you know what? Even if you're getting along the word, you're going to be one critical little Pharisee. Renew it. And that word should wash over you. And that word will bring more love in your life, more patience, more fruit, more caring, more power, more purpose. Amen? Amen. All right, anything else before we pray? And if somebody feel led specifically to pray for this couple, if you do, you come up here and grab the mic. I don't need to do it. If not, I'll pray for them. But... Okay. Father God, we just ask your blessing. Actually, I know your blessing is on this couple. But Lord, I just ask that you would bless them overly and abundantly more than they can ever even ask for or imagine, Lord God. I pray even today as they're sharing about their heart and their lives, Lord, 45 years on the mission field, Lord, I pray that we would listen and glean from things that you have taught them, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would anoint Lester, Lord, as he shares your word, Lord, and Peggy, as she's sharing what God has done in the ministry, Lord, that you would have them speak only about what you would have them to speak about, Lord God. Anything they've prepared that's not of you, just toss it aside, Lord, and anything that's of you, let it flow into our hearts and lives, Lord. Open our hearts that we would be ready to hear the word that your Spirit has for us. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we praise you in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And amen. Now, do you guys have your hookup? Nate, do you have a...
Your mic. Okay. Sure, it has been a real blessing for us to have been here in this fellowship. When we arrived back at the beginning of December, back to the state, and in the Palmetto area, we began looking for a church to be involved in and to attend and be fed by and participate and all that. And tried a few other churches and didn't really feel at home. So contacted Nate. Hey, where do you go to fellowship? So he told me. Gave me the website, looked it up, sounded good. With his recommendation, of course. I mean, how can I go wrong? Anyway, we have thoroughly enjoyed being here and getting involved a little bit. We didn't get involved too much because, hey, we're leaving just now. In fact, 15 days, we're on the plane. But we've been fed. We've been encouraged. We've been blessed. And coming back to the States, we need that. We need this time of refreshing, I must say. We have. Darren kind of cut short a little bit of what I did contribute on last Sunday. In fact, I shocked him a little bit, too. I told him that he was an oddity. Anyway, take it back a little bit. And, I said, let me explain. Most Bible teachers do not have a loving pastor's heart. Yes. They're just Bible teachers. But this man has been blessed with both. A loving pastor's heart as well as being a rich Bible teacher. Okay? So that makes him an oddity in a positive way. And that makes you guys double blessed.
Amen.
Now we're going to switch to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe used to be Rhodesia. And Rhodesia was a British colony. And they made the official language English. Okay, there are still the various tribal languages, but the official language is English. The main tribal language is called Shona. Okay, and we'd like to sing a Shona chorus for you. Okay, plus we'll sing the interpretation so you can understand.
When I remember what the Lord has done, I'll never turn back anymore. When I remember what the Lord has done, I'll never turn back anymore. No, 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 I'll never turn back anymore. No, 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 I'll never turn back anymore.
Now, in the way of introduction, we're both from Pennsylvania originally. I'm the third of seven, and Peggy, God bless her mother, is number 17 of 17.
Wow. Same father.
I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a military man. I made a solid commitment to Christ in Anchorage, Alaska, and at the age of 14, and Peggy made her commitment to Christ at the age of 16. Between my junior and senior year, my dad was transferred back to Pennsylvania from Alaska, and I was in a brand new school, had no Christian friends, and so I prayed, Lord, I need a good, solid Christian friend. And then I noticed this lovely brunette in my hand. And she was carrying her Bible along with her school books. And wasn't just a little pocket New Testament or something. I mean, we're talking about it. I couldn't miss it. So, anyway, that's how we met. The Lord answered my prayer. And a year and a half later, I married my best friend after having completed 1 year of Bible college in Pennsylvania. Then I transferred to International Bible College in San Antonio, Texas. Very first missionary chapel at IBC, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to be a missionary. And so that's where the call came. And I said, yes.
We, in the meantime, became youth pastors at a church that we got involved there. And in between Lester's second and third year of Bible college, there was a couple, a missionary couple, came by the church. Their names were Bob and Stella Bosworth. And during that meeting, God just spoke to their hearts and spoke to us. And we knew that we would be going to what was called Rhodesia, Africa, to work with them.
I graduated in 1970 and began to travel and to share, wherever the Lord opened the door, to share the calling that had been upon our heart as traveling as independent missionaries. And after 10 months of travel and raising support and prayer support, we arrived in what was then Salisbury, Rhodesia. We helped in planting several churches in the city area, but we mainly got involved in teaching and helping to start a Bible school.
We both became teachers at this college called Salisbury Evangelical Bible Institute. But besides the school, the most amazing thing was that we were able to teach 8 to 9 classes of scripture in the public schools, openly sharing Jesus and giving invitation. Amazing how much the country has been open to hear the gospel. Of course, a major ministry for Lester was among the African cults.
One of the main classes that I was teaching at the Bible school was comparative religions. And there was nothing written on the various African cults. When we show our DVD, you'll be able to see some of them. I mean, we're talking about serious stuff. I remember one night I went to a meeting of at night of the cult, and it was different. But anyway, this guy had a rip-roaring fire, Yehi, and I could tell he was getting rather psyched up. And he jumped into the fire. He put out that fire with his bare feet. And then he was playing with the glowing embers with his bare hands. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. I tell you, it was unreal. After 8 years of teaching, the students that we had trained were coming on staff. And we were working our way out of a job. Our teaching hours got less and less. And we began to wonder, Lord, what do you have next?
The whole idea of being a missionary is to work yourself out of a job. But our next move took us right out of the city, an hour away. And we got involved in a local church there. And we ended up completely doing their Sunday school program and their children's church. Now, I don't have time to go into it, but I just want to say we did children's church with a difference. We decided that the children that were school age and up to about 12 years old, that they would go to children's church. The children were the song leaders. The children brought the word, even if it took 2 or 3 of them to do it. The children laid hands on the sick. The children actually ran their own church. And so by the time that they get to 12, 13 years old, those children know how to run a sound equipment. Those children know how to play the instruments for the church. It's amazing. But church was just a bigger church for them.
Besides the local church, we were committed to other ministries and involved in Youth for Christ and at the local senior high school. I was sponsor of their scripture union. We also started a ministry called Teen Time in our home. And actually, the school sent troubled teens to us in our home. So this, along with the church and Peggy's outreach to the women, that kept us busy. And at that time, also, we were young parents trying to mold the lives of two young children.
During these years in Rhodesia, it entered into a civil war. When we first went there, we didn't realize what was going to happen. The wars were on the borders, but eventually it came right into the towns and into the cities. And there's many things we could tell you. But just to mention this, it was reported that 39 missionaries were killed altogether. And we do know the one missionary family we had been with 2 weeks before they were murdered. Our lives were threatened, and I don't have time to tell you that story. But also, our 5-year-old son, who was in a preschool class, was surrounded by terrorists. What a grip in my heart when I got that call. We always traveled in police convoys for protection. We were one of 2 cars traveling through the Great Dyke. We actually passed that car. It was smaller and slower, and we had foot down because we knew the dangers on the road. We got through. That car was completely bulletproof. We journeyed in landmine areas, people calling us to see if we had made it to the other side. We carried walkie-talkies in case we needed to call for help to be in a contact. I never went unarmed. I had training in how to use a 9mm Parabellum. We had friends murdered, raped, and physically maimed. But you know what Pastor said this morning? You've got to be in the Word. Because when you're facing a situation, you don't have time to go run and grab your Bible then. Mm-hmm. But if you've lived it, feasted on it, when you need it, that Word will come to you. And I remember being in prayer and saying, God, I can't do this. I cannot face this. And God gave that scripture to me. I have the keys to death. And suddenly, it was like a revelation. I saw him with the keys in his hand. And then I knew that no matter what, I was not going to die by any other way or any other means unless God allowed it and unlocked that. That's why the Word is so very powerful. We have moved on from those days, thank God, but we will never forget them.
The years from 1975 to independence in 1980, they were rather stressful times in Rhodesia. There were several notable massacres that had taken place. And during this time, then, Peggy was on the delivery table bringing into the world our second born. And she, thinking, Lord, what am I doing bringing another child into this war-torn country at this point in time? But God speaks peace to our hearts in the midst of the storm.
In 1979, we moved from that place up to Kariba, where we're actually still living and have lived for many years. Our very first home there had a bomb shelter, and people used those bomb shelters. But the only one time that we were mortared from Zambia was the time that we were not in Kariba. We were out of the town when it took place. You know, I'd much rather be in the right place at the right time than be in the wrong place at the wrong time. We were pastoring an interdenominational church. And I tell you, we had a move of God in 1980 that was unbelievable. But not only us, the whole country had a move of God taking place in 1980. But that interdenominational church, because of people's backgrounds and the varying denominations, it truly was a challenging ministry. In fact, what we tried to do was walk down the middle of the road. You know what happens when you walk down the middle of the road? They get hit by traffic on both sides. And we were so hit so hard that I just thought we couldn't get back up and serve again. But God in His grace and His mercy. But the interesting thing was, we had now gone through the war. We understood that. And now we had pastored a most difficult church to where we were crushed and bruised. But God had a plan for us to experience both of those things. In the country at the time, racial tension was high. There were many husbands and sons who had died in that war. There was so much pain and bitterness. And we knew God had us there to meet those needs and help those people to recover.
Kariba means the trap. And what they did, they put the trap on the Zambezi River, and that formed a lake 175 miles long called Lake Kariba. And there were fishing camps along this lake, and you'll be seeing some pictures of this just now as well. But we had our share of storms on the lake with our underpowered boat. But in 1979, Rhodesia became Zimbabwe Rhodesia, and then the war ended in 1980, and the elections took place, and they dropped the Rhodesia part, and so it was only Zimbabwe. So we lived in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, and then Zimbabwe. So we lived in three countries without moving. In 1983, we heard about a hotel that was for sale, and God made it clear that He wanted us to buy it for ministry. We didn't have any money. But one thing I learned from this, when God orders something, He pays for it. Within a year, it was paid off. That was a miracle in itself. And actually, this hotel was 1,000 feet above Lake Kariba, a very lovely panoramic view of the lake. And so we actually, the municipality gave us a bit of flack about the name. So we got a God name, and we prayed about it, and called it Most High Hotel. Because it was the highest hotel, plus it was committed to the Most High. They, of course, the worldly people, they only saw one side of it.
Right.
The God people knew what it was all about and what it stood for.
Missionaries from all over Central and Southern Africa and as far north as Ghana started coming down to that hotel. The word went out that there was a Christian hotel that missionaries and pastors could come to and be restored and healed and helped and have their conferences. But what God spoke to us about, too, was any pastor, any missionary coming to this hotel were to come on a donation basis for dinner, bed, and breakfast, their entire families. Plus, we did not allow any alcohol on the premises. And we were told, you can't run a hotel giving people, letting it be on a donation. And you make your money from liquor. But we heard what God said. And God blessed that, and missionaries began to come. So we took this leap of faith, and God provided for us, as Lester said. There are many stories I could tell you, but you're going to have to wait for the book. But one thing for sure, when you see the pictures, we're going to be showing you an 8-minute DVD, and when you see that hotel, you are going to be blessed when you see what God gave to us and how we used it.
We had the hotel for 22 years, ministering to the body of Christ. And inflation then started to hit. Food shortages began to hit the country as well. Thousands left, including our children and our grandchildren. And the era of the Most High Hotel came to an end. The infrastructure in the town was collapsing to the point where the municipality couldn't even give us water. I mean, please. On a lake 175 miles long, and they couldn't give us water. Anyway. We managed to sell the hotel. That in itself, I mean, sell a hotel with water, that was another miracle. And but with the rapid inflation at that point in time, we had to do something with the money. We had to buy an asset, and the Lord provided a boat. We were already involved in lake ministry, as I mentioned, and you'll see the boat.
A bigger boat.
A bigger boat, yes. And so with the food shortages that were taking place in the country at the time, we, our Land Cruiser, went through to neighboring Zambia and Lusaka, buying up food supplies, bringing them back, putting them on the boat, and going across the lake and distributing and feeding the people in isolated areas and with their fishing camps. In 2010, a resident couple that had a business, actually 3 hours from there, they felt upon their heart to get involved in ministry on the lake, and we said, fine. And so they took over this ministry, and they're doing an excellent job, and you'll see them also in the DVD. So we continue to teach African seminars. We mentor African leaders. We help in various projects, including church buildings and orphans and Bible distribution and any other projects that the Lord lays upon our heart that we're able to help finance.
A more recent ministry that we've done, and you will not see it in the DVD, because we've done that since the DVD, is that traditionally the African man pays for his wife, and then they just start living together. But many, now knowing the word of God, they want a godly marriage and then a church. Now, Zimbabwe law requires a stringent exam before any minister can marry a couple. And though it was difficult for me, I wrote and passed the exam the second time. And so I am now, within Zimbabwe, a certified marriage officer. Many certified marriage officers charge an arm and a leg for their Christian services. My motive was to help our Christians, couples, to get their homes in order. So my services are free. And we're busy. The one requirement we require is counseling. And this has been amazing because it has opened doors of ministry into people's lives that we didn't realize what this would develop into. And the doors of ministry have been amazing. But this is basically what happens. Lester does the spiritual side, the sermon and the ministry, and I do all the legal side and the paperwork. So we're a real team. You know, there's not enough time to tell you, because I'm looking at the clock there too, about how many times we have been chased by elephants.
Oh.
How the big baboons get in my kitchen and steal my bread off the top of my refrigerator. And how Lester came face to face with a lion and didn't see it there, lying under the tree. Or the cobra who raises its ugly head. Many other things like the big spiders and stuff. But I wish we had more time one of these days.
We fly back to Zimbabwe, actually in 15 days. It's going to be the 9th of May then. And after 21 and a half hours of flying and hours of waiting in airports, we're connecting flights and all the rest of it, we'll be glad to get back into Harare, the capital city of Zimbabwe. And we pick up our truck and supplies, and then we drive 5 hours north to Kariba over a potholed road on the left-hand side of the road. And standard transmission vehicle, and went through probably 7 roadblocks, and yeah, a lot of fun. But I tell you, I really appreciate the roads here in the United States. They are such wow. And the fact you can use cruise control here. Anyway, thanks for making our time to share this morning. So this just give you some insight. I'm going to reemphasize this point. Our main need is prayer. So you understand what we're going through and what we've been through and the ministry that we're involved in Zimbabwe. Now you can pray for us more intelligently. And this DVD was made at the completion of 40 years in Zimbabwe. So although this month it's now 45 years, but I just want you to know that when this DVD starts, you'll see Africa, then you see the flag come down to where Zimbabwe is, and then you're going to see a young couple. That young couple is us, okay? It doesn't look like us now. That's 45 years ago.
Preaching the word, and you wouldn't believe what his name is. Perry. So this gives us some insight into what we have been involved in. We go back when we're going to continue in our ministry. And also with Home Fellowship. Okay? And the church that meets in our home. And George, thank you so much. Did a good job. Okay, this morning I'd like to share just a few thoughts on the call of God. Okay, now there are several calls that are actually mentioned in Scripture. We've been called to righteousness. We've been called to worship. We've been called to serve. And of all the calls, of course, the very first and the most important call for any of us is the call to salvation. And Jesus, he actually bid all of us. He says, come. The scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. And I find this to be a very interesting scripture. In Matthew 11, 28. And, of course, a familiar one for us. Where Jesus speaking here. I'd like to hear it from a different translation other than King Jimmy that I have. Okay. Yeah. Anybody's fine?
Come to me, all you who are worried and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
So here's the invitation to come. He's saying, just come. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? You saw in the DVD, a yoke of oxen in front of a trailer. Okay? Now, once this yoke is on the oxen realize something. Hey, I've got a job to do. So it's not a matter of just coming, but also with that coming is also the realization, hey, there's something for me to do. So when we come to Jesus, it's an instant understanding, hey, we're not just saved to sit. We're saved to serve. There's a job for us to do. But he says, my yoke is easy. Okay, and that word easy literally means made to fit. So whatever he calls us to do, he's calling us to get involved. But what he gives us to do, we can do it with him ministering to us. And it's not going to be a burdensome thing that he calls us to do. Okay, so he says, come. And then, and in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, he says, go out and compel them to come in. Now we know that we cannot compel or force anybody to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We know that. But this word compel literally means urge them. Urge them to come. Now, we know that the word urge, of course, goes along with the word urgency. Hey, and there is an urgency. The eternal state of people's souls. It is whether they come to Christ or they don't come to Christ. So therefore, there's an urgency for us to urge people to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Another scripture, and in John 6:37, Jesus said, he that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. So it's there, come. The invitation is to each and every one, come. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I like that. Jesus said, learn of me. The more we learn about him, the more we feel confident to share him with other people. Okay, and then he says, he that comes to me, I welcome them with open arms. I want to bring them into the family, into the love relationship that I have with mankind. So today I want to talk about the call of mission, or the call to be a missionary. Now, it's been said that all of us, each and every one of us, fit into one of two categories. Either we are a
missionary, or we are a mission field. So it's one or the other. You're not in the crack in between anywhere. Okay? You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. Okay? So if you have been convicted of your sin, you've repented, you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you are a missionary. You're a missionary. I mean, the concept of a lot of people is, no, you have to go overseas somewhere, or, you know, in order to be a missionary.
No.
We all have been called to be a missionary, each and every one of us. Now, we're familiar with the story of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. In Acts 5 and 6, Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. And here, he asks the Lord two questions. Okay, is someone there? You have it? What are the two questions?
Who are you, Lord?
Who are you?
That's one. Okay? What's the other question?
What do you want me to do?
Exactly. What do you want me to do? Now, I find that with the first question, I find that very, very interesting. He immediately called Jesus Lord. It wasn't a matter of, okay, I'll make Jesus my Savior first, and then I'll go through and waste a number of years, and then I'll commit him to the lordship of my life. Immediately, he made Jesus Christ Lord of his life. And that's the way it should be.
Yes.
When we repent and commit our life to Jesus Christ as not just Savior, but we need to put him on the throne of our hearts and make him Lord. And then, he says, what do you want me to do? He realized immediately that the Lord's yoke is there. That he was now yoked to somebody, and that yoke speaks that I have something to do for my new master. So he made him Lord, and he asked, what do you want me to do? And later, of course, the Lord showed him what he had to do and where to go. But the call to missions was a question they asked right from the beginning, from his call to salvation. Salvation, our commitment of our life to Christ, and involvement in missions go together. We all have our where and what. We have our individual calling. We have our own time period. But whether we're at where God's placed you or somewhere else around the world, we're all called to missions. Every one of us. Many of us, and many people have said to us, can't do what you and Peggy do. You know, I mean, please, cross-cultural ministry and the snakes and the spiders and, you know, and, okay. But, hey, remember he says, my yoke is easy. What I call you to do, I personally design you for that ministry, whatever it is. You're custom designed for what I call you to do. So, all we need to do is make ourselves available to the call of God. I remember being in a missions conference, and there were a lot of missionaries there, and there was, you know, those that were, it seemed as though those that were Africa or China or whatever, they kind of got preferential treatment. But and those from Teen Challenge or involved in ministering to unwed mothers or troubled teens or prison ministries or child evangelism, something that kind of had a back seat. And Peggy got up and was upon her heart. She said, no. Look, we're all called to be missionaries. Whether it's here in the United States or whether it's somewhere around the world, the call is the same. And it's extended to each and every one of us, not one over another. We're all mission. And it changed the whole tone of that missions conference. When we accept the call to missions, then we can confidently say, along with what the scripture tells us, and have that assurance within our hearts, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What I called you to do, I will enable you to do it, and I will empower you to do what I've called you to do.
Amen.
He goes on to say, in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. I like that. Because that takes it off of us. It's not us or our doing, quote, our ministry. He says, I called you, and I will do it through you.
Amen.
And that's for each and every one of us. His call is on our lives. He wants to use us, but he wants to minister through us. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, but Christ working through us. And that's the difference between ministry with gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble is going to get burned up because that's our work. But when gold, silver, and precious stone, hey, that's the Lord ministering through us. And that is fruit that's going to remain.
Amen.
I want to share with you three areas that the call of God in our lives does for each and every one of us. The first of all, the call of God gives us purpose. The call of God gives us purpose. I saw a sign that stuck with me, but it's truth. It says, the purpose of life is to have a life of purpose. I like that. The purpose of life is to have a life of purpose. And especially young people, they go, what am I going to do? What's my goal in life? What am I been born for? You know? Hey, when we commit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately he gives us a life of purpose. Our purpose is to serve him. And a number of years ago, the Lord dropped a scripture in my heart that really ministered to me in Acts 13:36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. A little bit of the setting there. I was visiting a mission station, and I saw where missionaries had given their life. They've been buried at this mission station. And then I saw the state of the mission station and all the rest of it. And I said, Lord, what's going to happen when I leave? Is everything going to fall apart? And then he dropped this scripture into my heart. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep. That's our purpose. First purpose is to serve God. David served his own generation by the will of God. Our first ultimate purpose is to serve God. And then we serve our own generation by the will of God. We find out what he wants us to do. We allow him to minister through us. And our responsibility is to our own generation. We hand the torch off to the next generation. And what they do with it is between them and God. But what our responsibility is to serve God and to serve our generation by the will of God. And that spoke such peace to my heart. When we realize that we hold the key, the good news, the what the world needs out there. God has entrusted this treasure with you and me to share this glorious gospel with people who haven't heard. What a privilege. Christ's ambassador. What a privilege. Now, whether it's here or whether it's across the seas, no matter. His purpose for us is not to become rich and famous and all the rest of it. Hey, the Bible says for us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Neither moth nor rust can corrupt, or thieves don't break through and steal. And when we find our real purpose is to share the love of God, and then we will be the most fulfilled people on the face of the earth. Second, the call of God gives us power. Call of God gives us power. Having accepted our purpose in life doesn't guarantee that we are going to have a trouble-free, rosy life. In fact, on the contrary, we're on the front lines, and we're going to be attacked. So we're going to face flak. We're going to have problems. There's a promise that you're not going to find in very many promise boxes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Anyone quote this? 2 Timothy 3:12. Have you ever read this one in a promise book? Someone read it to you? No bumper stickers. No bumper stickers. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:12, what does it say?
Anyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted.
What? So if we live a godly life, we are going to be
persecuted.
And that's a promise. I haven't seen it on a bumper sticker. You're right.
Yeah.
So because we obeyed the call of mission, we suffered right alongside of our fellow Zimbabweans over there. Right along with them. When the dollar collapsed, our money collapsed right along with it. We lost it. The banks just confiscated. Gone. I was going to say something. I'll leave that out. There was a time when we traded clothing for food in the African market. We woke up one morning and we saw that we'd been broken into during the night. Our money, computers, other valuables were stolen. And later when the police caught the thieves, we met with them in court. And we found out that these thieves that broke into our house, they had been armed. So praise God we didn't wake up. So, in fact, Peggy and I were counting the other day. I think we've been robbed at least 12 times that we know. So, this type of thing happens. We on the front lines, and we're going to be attacked. But when we go through hard times like that, we don't say, "Where are you, God? Why did you fail me? This Christianity is not meant to cut out to be." You know? We don't respond like that. The Lord gives us the power to endure hardship as good soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then some that teach that this power is for everything to go well, that's erroneous teaching. But we love the Lord no matter what we go through. It doesn't change our love for the Lord. It doesn't change His love for us. When Paul and Silas were sitting in the jailhouse, what were they doing? Praising the Lord and singing. Yes, they were rejoicing. And the power that comes with the call of God gives us a song instead of crying and bemoaning our circumstances. The power that I'm talking about, I think, is best described in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. I know this is another very familiar portion of Scripture. And I want to make sure that we understand it properly. Okay? I can what?
Do all things.
All things through Christ.
Okay. So He gives us the power. Now that word do. Okay? That word do literally means endure or successfully handle. It doesn't mean that you can overhaul an engine if you don't have a clue about mechanics. Okay? What it means is that we can successfully handle every situation, every trial that comes our way. Because we know that no temptation taken such as dumb man. Okay? And He gives us the strength to successfully go through it.
That's power.
So, we can successfully handle every situation. This is true power. And lastly, the call of God gives us passion. The call of God gives us passion. When Jesus came to His people, and they decided that they wanted a civil leader instead of a spiritual leader, and they did not understand why Jesus Christ was going to the cross and shedding His blood for them, They did not understand what it was all about. But that showed the intensity of his passion for mankind. God so loved the world. And he gave his all for the people. The call of God is upon your life and upon mine. And the call is there for us also to live our life. He died for us so that we could live for him. And having lived for him, to share his life in us and through us. Jesus had a passion for the people to come to them. His heart is that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His heart was broken as he stood over Jerusalem, looked over the city of Jerusalem, and he says, how often I would have gathered you together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't come. The Lord does not want his people lost from him. But we have to make our choice. Freedom is the power to choose. And God has given that to us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be true love. The passion of Christ's heart over the 3 years of his ministry is very clear. And it continues to burn in the hearts of his people today.
Yes.
And that's the passion that comes with the call of God. It's called the mission. And this passion compels us and impresses upon us the urgency to make Jesus Christ Lord of our life and to live for him, learn of him. I didn't understand it when I was told the easiest place to backslide is in Bible college. When I was in Bible college, I heard that again and again. How can anyone backslide in Bible college? Where you're in the Word day in and day out. The problem is, the Word's given to us, and we don't apply it to our life. We don't live it out. We don't grow in it. We just store it in our head. And don't allow it to filter down into our hearts and into our lifestyle. And that's the problem.
Good knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Here you are receiving rich teaching. Allow God's word to take hold not only in your mind as you understand the principles of the Lord, and the principles of his word. And as he said, learn of me. We not just learn his word, but we learn who Jesus is. And what he wants to do in us and what he wants to do through us. Then walk in that word. Allow his word and his spirit to transform our lives so that others can see Jesus Christ in us. And then they'll want to hear what we have to say. Hey, this Christianity stuff, like Nicodemus, they'll come to you at night and they'll say, hey, don't get me wrong, I'm not really a Jesus guy. But tell me, I've got problems. You know? And then we share another one with them. And you become a missionary. God's heart for the world is a love relationship. And because we love the Lord, as Psalm 91 says, we set our love upon him. And then we pick up his heart. And his heart is for people. His heart is for people. So I encourage you to share this Christ with other people. If you're here today and you've answered the call of salvation, then you also have the call to mission. Be a missionary. Get involved. Both here and abroad. And have you recently taken stock of where you stand at your purpose, your power, and your passion to share the good news of the gospel? Either you're a missionary or you're a mission field. And when you go through that door at the end of the service, remember, you are now entering the mission field. Our greatest need in Zimbabwe is prayer. And on the table in the foyer with our prayer card. I appreciate it if you take one, put it in your Bible, your prayer closet, your war room, someplace where you're going to see it. And please remember to pray for it. One dear saint in Kansas, he contacted me and said, please, would you send another card to me? I pray for you whenever I wash my dishes. Okay? And you've been baptized in my dishwater. So, that's fine. Yeah, I don't mind being baptized again. And I'm glad you sent another card to me. God bless you.
You know, how cool was that? What a great message. You know, besides, like, you know, my friends that are here that I listen to, you know, I have to say, it's very seldom, and you know, when we know a lot of the words, it's very seldom to listen to somebody and to say, he's got it! He is right on! Bullseye! You know, I didn't have to weed through some stuff, spit out some bones, that was a little off. I just got to receive the good word. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
I'm just gonna close with these two verses that the Lord gave me. It's really kind of cool. I had to look one back up because I shut it. But when you started off, you know, George, if you could bring back that purpose, that whatever that was up there just for 1 second. Then we can go. I know it's we've gone long.
Just turn the screen off, dude.
You guys were okay. You'll be all right. The two things that the Lord gave, right when you started, Lester, it said, you know, you mentioned the call on your life. And as you started that, I just opened my Bible. You ever do that? You just open it, and like your eyes go down. And he's talking about the call. You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. And some of you here are missionaries. And some of you here are mission fields. Mm-hmm. And you need to choose. You need to hear that call.
Yes.
But if you will call out to the Lord, as I look down at my Bible, this is what, I had to look it back up because I accidentally shut it. And it was in Isaiah 66, 24. And I'll just read this to you. You know, it says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. And so if you are not sure of the call on your life, first I speak to you, Christian, you born-again believers. If you're not sure of the call that you have on your life, then I want to encourage you to underline that verse in your Bible. Isaiah, was it 65, 24? And call. It says, before they call, I will answer. Call out to him right now in your heart and just say, Lord, I want you to make my calling and election sure. I want you to give me that call, that purpose for me, that I can be a missionary wherever I go.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Yes.
And you know, the other thing was...
It was
that's okay. The other thing was... That's all right, George. Just sit. Relax. The other thing was that passion, purpose, or whatever...
Purpose, power,
and passion. The other thing is, if you don't have that purpose, that passion, and that power in your life, then you can add another P word, possible.
Yes.
Because it's possible that you're just a churchgoer and you don't really know Jesus Christ. And he wants you to know him.
Yes.
He wants you to know him. He wants you to have a purpose. He wants you to have a passion in your life. Whether you're 6 years old in here, or you're 16 and you're 60, are you invigorated by what's being said here? If you're not, then maybe you should make that calling and election sure. That verse that he gave in Acts that really spoke to him.
1336.
I'm going to read verse 38 to you, and that's what spoke to me as you were saying that. Because you said, hey, we have a purpose here. And when we're dead, when it's over, but we're to fulfill our purpose. And therefore, if you don't have that purpose in your life, and that passion, and those things, then, again, it's possible you don't really know the Lord. And I just go before him right now. Verse 38 says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus Christ, through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything.
Yes, thank you.
You could not have been justified from the law. So here you have a Savior that wants you to come to him right now. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you don't have that purpose, if you don't have that passion in your life, then God is saying, I want to forgive you of your sins right now. I want to cleanse you. Think of all the crap. Excuse my language. But that's what you've done. That's what it is. That's what you've done in your life. Some of you are probably even too embarrassed to speak it. But you've done it. You've thought it. But you have a Savior that's willing to forgive you right now and to set you on the right track.
Yes.
To set you on a life of purpose for him. It's amazing. And it's free. And all you have to do is call out to him right now. Before you even call, he hears it in your heart. Say, Lord, will you forgive me? I want that purpose. I want that passion in my life. I want to serve you all the days of my life. I don't want to be that mission field. I want to be that missionary. Will you forgive me of my sins? I know you died and rose again from the dead for me, personally. And I want to love you and serve you all the days of my life. And if you will call to him sincerely from your heart, he will do that for you, and you will have a supernatural transformation in your life. And that's the truth. You can take it to the bank in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
And let me tell you, if he can forgive a wretch like me, well, he can forgive anybody. Let's pray.
Thank you.
Father God, I thank you. You have ordained each and every person to be here. I don't know how you got them here, but you did. And you ordained them to hear this message, Lord. I pray that you would give them supernatural wisdom, supernatural understanding, supernatural blessing, supernatural conviction, and that you would help them to call out to you, even now, to do whatever it is you want done in and through their lives. We love you. We ask this together, that you would do whatever you want through each life here, Lord God, through this church, through Peggy and Lester, Lord God, and through every single person in that kids' ministry as well, Lord. Raise us up to be missionaries. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 We love you guys. Have a blessed week in Jesus Christ's name.